Medical Matters on Talk About, brought to you in association with the Bon Secours Hospital Tralee, celebrating 100 years of advanced medicine and exceptional care.
Now, Dr. Eamon is away this week, but we're delighted to welcome back Dr. Gary Stack from Killarney. You'll know Gary, of course, from South Dock, but he is also, of course, a GP based in Killarney, and he's very kindly agreed to step in for Eamon this week. Gary, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Deirdre, and a lot of listeners.
Now, we might kick off maybe by talking about what everyone is talking about, and that is the weather, of course. And Gary, that the hot weather, which, let's face it, we Irish people are not entirely used to, I'm sure it can throw up its own medical issues and problems, can it?
So it can. People get tired of it after a while. I had a patient recently, well, can't say it was recent, probably about a month or two ago, weather was particularly bad, and she was from Iraq, actually, and I kind of apologised for the weather. I said it was pretty bad and unpleasant, and she said, I've had 40 years of summer. She said, I'm delighted to see it. That's the other way around at the moment.
Wow. Puts it into perspective, doesn't it?
Perspective, yeah. So I think we should welcome it while we have it and don't get too hung up about it.
Exactly. Just maybe we might start with the one that a lot of people are suffering with at the moment, and that is hay fever. I noticed the pollen count has been high for a few days. Do you have any words of advice or comfort for hay fever sufferers, Gary?
I suppose, first of all, is an understanding what pollen is. It's the way the plants pollinate, and people understand that it's floating in the air. So ways to try and reduce, first of all, I suppose the pollen that you're exposed to should be the first step. Keeping the windows closed in the house where possible, obviously. Travelling in a car is another place where it is, if you have the windows open or if the air vents are open and blowing in your face, that's a huge way to get pollen into your nose, into your eyes, and get your hay fever. Different people are allergic to different types of pollen. And you can be tested for that, but testing isn't necessary. People will tell themselves what are bad weeks and what are good weeks, and they know from year to year what time of the year their hay fever is a problem for them. So some person mightn't have a problem in June, but they could have it in August or September, and it could be the other way around for somebody else. Sunglasses would be important is another thing. You ideally wrap around sunglasses to reduce what's going in the eyes. Keeping indoors at home, keeping the dust down, keeping the place well covered. Small tip is using Vaseline just underneath the nostrils, just literally to trap pollen as it comes in. Avoid the garden is obviously a place where you get plenty of pollen, so pay somebody else to do it, cut the lawn for you. And pets can be a source of pollen.
Okay, so a couple of good pointers there. Is there anything any such thing as a stronger antihistamine? Because I think everybody who has hay fever has tried all the over-the-counter ones, Gary. Is it possible to be prescribed a stronger one by your doctor?
There are ones that are a bit stronger, I suppose. They're all broadly similar. They divide usually into two types, older antihistamines and newer ones. The newer ones are generally less sedating, but the old ones are probably more effective for each, but that could be because they're more sedating. The old ones are the ones like Phenagan or Pyritin. The newer ones, ones like the cetirizine is a very common one. Telfast is another one. Zyrtec is another form of cetirizine. Zyzal is another one. So there are a few different ones around. You can try different ones to see, and sometimes we would slightly increase the dose in someone who is suffering a lot of symptoms.
Okay, very good. Let's move on to another seasonal one, if you like. Sunburn. I was in Ballybunion for the weekend, and I certainly did see quite a few people, maybe not as many as usual, but quite a few people with red raw skin on their backs and on their legs from overexposure to the sun. Is that something you've seen in your own surgery or maybe in South Dock? Have there been a few people?
That's usually, we would see at the start of a sunny season, people get overexcited at the start of a sunny season and get their sunburn, and we tend to see that in the first few days of it usually. At this stage, people have probably got a base tan, a lot of them, And we're not seeing it as much as we would have a week or two ago. But obviously, staying safe and staying out of the sun, stay away from the sun when you can. A broad-brimmed hat would solve an awful lot of problems for people. And something soothing like Silcox Base available over the counter is very soothing. It's also a moisturiser, but it's very soothing for sunburn, for burned skin. Put it in the fridge, it's even more cooling.
Okay, and then what is sunstroke then? I'm always confused about what that is. Is that when somebody has spent too much time in the sun and they start to get disorientated? Yeah.
Sunstroke and heat stroke are the same thing. They're interchangeable. The terms are interchangeable. By definition, it's a body temperature, core body temperature of over 40. We're all familiar with the normal body temperature and someone having a fever with infection. Normal body temperature is 37, over 37.5 we would tend to say they have a fever, but over 40 we would say they have sunstroke or heat stroke. Symptoms of that can be people feel quite faint, blood pressure drops, feel very tired, they could have a headache, could be confused, mentally confused, and it can be fatal. If it's severe enough, it can be fatal.
Mm-hmm. So what should somebody do if they have sunstroke or somebody in their family has it?
Cool down as quickly as possible. Cool bath. Damp cloth. Staying in a cool area somewhere where there's a bit of a breeze that you can, it'll take away the heat from you. That would be the most immediate things. And be well hydrated, because hydration will add to the symptoms. Sorry, dehydration will add to the symptoms. So being well hydrated reduces the severity of the symptoms.
Okay. And speaking of that, it goes without saying, but then again, we probably can't say it often enough. Hydration is so important for both older people and the very young in this weather, Gary, isn't it?
Yeah, hydration is very important. As well as you said in the last thing, obviously, we're using a proper suntan lotion. Minimum factor 15, but most people go with 30 to reduce. You'll still get your suntan, but you're less likely to get sunburned. But staying hydrated is very important and useful to, I think, if you, when you sit down for a meal, maybe have a glass of water and take a glass of water before you eat anything. Three or four glasses of water like that in the day before you eat anything. It's just, if you, particularly people who are reluctant to be drinking water during the day, just get it in one big gulp, as it were. People often forget there are other ways of getting in water as well, getting in hydration. Fruit is a huge source of water. Melon, for instance, is probably well over 90% water. Adding water, people have problems getting hydrated, adding water to whatever food they're having in the cooking or in preparation of the food, adding water to it is a way of just getting more, better hydrated.
Okay, so lots of interesting tips there. It can be tough, this prolonged period of warm weather, for older people in particular, Gary. Would you advise them to maybe stay out of the sun completely if they can, or at least stay out of it in the hottest part of the day?
Yeah, stay out in the hottest part of the day from midday to 4 or 5 p.m. Stay out of it at that time. Again, the idea of having sitting somewhere where there's a bit of a breeze, sitting in the shade. Just keep, any way you can keep out of the sun, the wide-brimmed hat, as I suggested earlier, would be quite important also.
Okay, very good. Well, look, I think we've covered some of the heat-related topics there, Gary, and no doubt a few more will come in. We might start with some questions, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
Now, this listener got in touch last week, and apologies to them, we didn't get around to answering it, but hopefully they're still listening. The listener says, my 17-year-old son has been complaining of a pain in one of his testicles. It went away after paracetamol, but came back the next day after walking. He would rate the pain about 5 out of 10, but it is constant. Any advice?
I hope that he has been to his doctor in the meanwhile. If he hasn't, he should go. Pain in the testicles is potentially quite serious and should be attended to urgently. Most times there may not be any serious cause. Sometimes there can be a thing called arthritis, which is a low-grade inflammation or infection in the testicles, often treated with antibiotics. But it often, clinically, it is quite easy to examine the testicles. and it can quite quickly tell and reassure a person that there's nothing too bad going on. It can also very rarely find a testicular tumour, but they are generally easy to find on direct examination of the testicles. And that advice, I suppose, for younger males, testicular cancer is common from late teens to the late 30s. So they should monthly be checking. And what I advise my patients to do would be in the shower on the first week of the month, check and get used to what the normal testicle feels like, what you're trying to, what you should imagine, I suppose, the testicle is a sponge rugby ball, and what you're hoping not to find within the substance of that sponge rugby ball is a golf ball, something hard within the substance of the testicle itself, a harder area within it.
So that young man should definitely get it checked out, really.
Yeah. You often get little tiny, something on the surface of the testicles, little tiny bubbles or bumps that they're not of any consequence, but that 17-year-old with a constant pain in the testicles needs to be seen urgently.
Yeah, he needs to get that checked out immediately. Hopefully he's still listening, and as you say, hopefully he has been to the doctor in the meantime. Gary, we'll take a quick break. We've more questions for you. Just a quick reminder, we're on 083 300 3300. More Medical Matters after this break.
Talk About On. Medical Matters on Talk About. Brought to you in association with the Bonsecours Hospital, Tralee. Celebrating 100 years of advanced medicine and exceptional care.
Now, if you just joined us, Dr. Gary Stack from Killarney has stepped in this week for Dr. Eamon Shanahan. He's answering your general medical queries. Next up, Gary, we have an 80-year-old North Kerry caller who has very bad flu-like symptoms as well as a cough. She's wondering, what could it be? What could she do?
Two things. One, she should do an antigen test. Is it COVID? If it's positive, she can phone her GP. If it's negative, she can go and see her GP.
Okay. And if it's not COVID, what could it be?
Obviously, the influenza is around to some extent, but not in huge numbers. And pneumonia could cause flu-like symptoms and a cough.
Okay,
and
I suppose
infection could do it.
Yeah, I suppose we always think that people only get sick with flus and things like that in the winter, but it's around in the summer as well. Another North Kerry listener wants to know, what's the normal blood reading for the prostate gland?
The blood test they're referring to, the PSA. There's been a lot of debate about the value of PSA. It can pick up cancer early on, but a lot of people will have figures will be a bit high without anything bad going on, so it can cause anxiety, unnecessary anxiety as well. But a ballpark figure is about 4. You'd expect it to be less than that in a person in their 20s and 30s, maybe 2.5 and up. And you would allow a bit extra in an older person in their 70s and 80s, you'd allow it up to 5.5 or 6. But often it is rarely advised unless someone is over 50. And you would also look at the speed of the rise, how if it was borderline raised, now you'd probably check again maybe in 3 or 4 months' time.
Okay, so don't worry if it seems high.
Not to worry. It would be repeated and see, is it rising or is it staying at the same level, or sometimes occasionally it would drop. Because other things can put it up. Other than cancer, there can be a prostatitis, which is just inflammation or a low grade infection.
Okay.
And it can falsely elevate the figure.
Now, this one actually again came in last week, and we didn't get around to it, but it's an interesting one. A parent gets in touch and says, my 18-month-old son will not drink water. I have tried different sippy cups, coloured plastic cups, flavoured waters, all different types of my wadi, but no good. It's really stressing me out in the warm weather.
Yeah, difficult enough, I suppose. Simple thing, this was just even using a damp cloth to keep the child cool. Going back to the hydration element of it, if they're that bit cooler, there'll be less chance of getting damaged by the sun. Fruit and veg contain very high proportions of water. So trying to get fruit and veg in would increase their hydration, increase their water intake. If putting it into the freezer often might encourage them to they might be more inclined to take something that's frozen, which might have that extra bit of water in it. Just any way you can persuade them. Jelly, for instance, is mostly water. Whatever, adding extra water to whatever food you're preparing, or whatever in the cooking, that can help to get any way you can get water in will aid hydration.
Okay, so lots of ideas there.
Laterally, as well, that's the thing.
This one just came in the last few minutes as well, and it ties in with what we were saying earlier. More of a comment than a question, Gary. A listener says, when I'm out and about the last few days, I see a lot of very small children in strollers or walking without head coverings in this hot weather.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah. They should be very well covered with the factor 50, and they should be all wearing a cap with a large flap. Large brim for protection.
Yeah, absolutely. Goes without saying. Now, Mary from Listowel was in touch. She's 75 and gets very short of breath. She says, even if I go for a short walk, I get very tired. I do take an inhaler twice a day. What does the doctor advise?
So you have to look at what things could be causing this. She mentioned she's taking an inhaler. So obviously the chest problems are one potential cause. Does she have COPD? Was she a smoker in the past? There are other causes of COPD as well, other interstitial lung diseases and so on. I presume that has been checked out with regard to inhalers. Maybe the inhalers need to be increased. She'd need to talk to her doctor on that. Second cause, I suppose, would be to autoimmune angina. In other words, is this coming from the heart as opposed to coming from her lungs? And again, cardiology assessment from that point of view, blood pressure check, maybe a stress test, exercise stress test on a treadmill could identify if it was coming, whether or not it was coming from the heart. If she had any other conditions going on, like I think of anemia or other blood conditions, that would potentially lower her hemoglobin, lower her iron level, so the body is less. But I'm guessing with this lady it's more likely to be a venous problem. In other words, the return of the blood to the heart is not as efficient as it might be. If someone has varicose veins, the blood will tend to pool in the lower legs purely due to gravity. If the valves of the veins have been damaged, blood will pool and will tend to cause that kind of an aching and a throbbing. Treatment-wise, and besides, peripheral neuropathy might be another condition that would begin in the feet and work its way up. That can again be due to diabetes or can be due to vitamin deficiencies. Get a blood test would show that. Treatment-wise, reducing weight would help. Often, funnily enough, exercise would help. If the fitter you are, probably the less it would bother you. Compression stockings should help, or maybe someone might need surgical treatment for the veins if they've had varicose veins.
Okay, Gary, we have a person who's having problems with the skin on their hands. She says her skin is peeling and cracking on her palms and fingers. Different prescribed creams haven't worked. Even steroids haven't worked. She says, I'm 61 and in good health.
So the first of all, the concern, would it be something like contact dermatitis, which is her hands in contact with something that is adding to the skin condition? Is she handling some form of chemicals of some kind that would be adding to the problem? Or is this an allergic problem? They need to look for an allergen-free soap, reduce the amount of washing they're doing, or not to be washing the hands frequently because it removes the natural oils from the hands. Make sure they're not too dehydrated again, going back to hydration. And sometimes, probably not in our climate, but a humidifier might help with it. And using natural fabrics, cotton and so on, and as clothing, and avoiding perfumes.
Okay, there's a few good pointers for her. We've an elderly female caller, Gary, and she rang up and says she can't sleep in this weather and is feeling very lethargic, wondering if you have any advice for her.
They say that getting to sleep at night, that the bedroom should be cooler than what you're used to during the day, not to overly heat the room. This would probably imply even more so in this type of weather. Cool damp cloth might help. something that can circulate the air a bit, leaving a window open so there is some bit of a draft. The lethargy, I presume, is to the non-sleeping. People should focus, I suppose, when they're sleeping, should use some, if they're having difficulty, they should focus on the fact that they need to be relaxing when they're in bed, not to be focusing on the fact that I can't sleep, but how do I get myself to relax? Focus on relaxing the muscles, literally starting at the feet and working up, and focusing on thinking about somewhere you'd like to be, maybe. Focusing on something else and not focusing on the fact that you're not getting to sleep. It's more important that you're relaxing than you're actually sleeping.
Mm. And to remember, I suppose, that you're still lying down and your body is relaxing, even if you're not actually asleep. So I presume that's still beneficial for you.
That would be beneficial, yeah. The body, you're relaxing all the muscles. And if you focus in on relaxing those muscles, literally moving up each muscle group, moving up the body and so on, and focusing on your breathing, that sleep will come eventually with that, but you're actually relaxing as well. You're getting the relaxation that the body and the mind needs.
Mm. Gary, before we go, a load of questions came in late and we're obviously not going to get around to them, but I just gave a quick glance there through them and I noticed a lot of people are calling in with questions to do with swollen ankles and swollen feet and legs. Is that all weather related?
It is. Mm. Weather related and heat related, yeah.
So?
Not necessarily any harm. It's an inconvenience for a lot of people. But it's not necessarily of any great harm, so don't be getting too worried about it.
Mm. And would
put the legs up. Gravity will help put the legs up. That's about all you can do with it.
Yeah.
The damp cloth around the area might help the sensation as well.
And does rehydrating yourself and drinking lots of water, does that help with it or not?
It sounds as if it might make it worse, but it doesn't. Actually being well hydrated with it would help as well.
Okay.
And pumping, moving the ankles up and down will help to pump the blood, get the blood circulating better again.
Exactly. Well, we spend all our lives in this country complaining about the weather, and judging by today's questions, little did we think that so many problems can be caused to our health by the weather, but there you have it, Gary. Listen, we let you go, but thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you too.
And for stepping in. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Gary. That is Dr. Gary Stack there. You'll know him from South Dock, director of South Dock here in Kerry, but of course, and lots of people who are suffering big time with hay fever at the moment. So if anyone out there has a magic cure for hay fever that they'd like to share with the listeners, we'd love to hear from you in particular this afternoon. Maybe there's some old wives tale or old wives cure, whatever they call them, that you swear by. So if anyone has cures for hay fever, we want to hear from you on 083 300 3300. Now we'll be meeting the very talented Kerry screenwriter Alva Keoghan. That's up next. Talk about